Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Old Testament passage this morning, our only passage for today, comes from the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 4 through 17. Listen now to the word of our Lord. When Esther's maids and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what was happening and why. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and charge her to go to the king to make supplication to him and entreat him for her people. Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. And then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message for Mordecai, saying, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone may that person live. I myself have not been called to come into the king for 30 days. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your family's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for such a time as this. When Esther said in reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. And after that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. This is the word of the Lord. Today we're visiting the story of Esther. And first of all, I think it's really nice to highlight that there are two books in the Bible that are all about women. Esther's one of them and Ruth is the other. So if you've never read either one of them, you might want to go home and open them up and venture into their lives. But Esther is unique in that it is the only book in all of the scriptures that never mentions the word God. So some might think, well, then why is it in here? Well, that's a very good question. The reason it's in here is that even though it doesn't say God explicitly, as you read through the story, you see the providential hand of God throughout all of its words. Esther actually has two meanings of her name. Her Hebrew name was Hadassah, which means myrtle. But her Persian name derived from the Persian word for star. And if you know anything about the Bible and symbols that we're supposed to pay attention to, you remember the Christmas story? What do we do with a star? We follow it. There are a few things I would like, more than anything, to lose myself in. And I don't know about you, but I love to read a good book. Maybe some of you, it's not your thing. But I love to lose myself in the pages and find a story that might tell me a lesson and guide me to something. And if you're an avid reader, then you know that a truly great book is really hard to find, very rare. Does a really great book come along where the author just really knows how to, you know, tell the story and capture you? And when I do find a really good book, I have a very hard time keeping quiet about it. I love to tell everybody about it, and I love to, you know, use illustrations in my sermons, and I love to recommend it to all my families and friends. When we look at the scriptures, we don't think of it as being books per se, right? But the way Esther is told, it's a little novella, it's a little story that guides you through what happened to Esther and her people and her family. In case you don't know the book well, Esther is something worth your time. And it opens where there's a 180-day-long party. Anybody want to go to that? 180 days worth of party just for you. And as the days of feasting began to draw to a close, the king summons his wife Vashti to show off her beauty. And she actually is to wear a crown, a very special crown, and possibly not much more. I'll leave it at that. And Vashti, another woman in the story that's kind of cool, says no. And I'm very proud of her. But guess what happens in response when you say no to the king? You are banished. So she's gone for the rest of the story. And as time goes by, the king really misses a queen, right? I mean, Vashti's gone, and so, you know, his ministers say, well, then let's get you a new queen. We'll arrange for it, right? And how you chose a queen back then was you gathered all the women that were beautiful and pretty and young from all 127 provinces, and you bring them to a really big palace, and you set them all up for everybody to look at, and then the king chooses the one he wants. Sound interesting? I kind of thought, you know, I like beauty pageants, but for a moment, I was kind of like, is that like what it's like, you know, where they're paging around in their outfits and waiting for him to, choose? Interesting, huh? But in Shushan, the capital city, lived a beautiful Jewess named Esther. She was an orphan who was raised by her uncle, some versions say cousin, by Mordecai. Everybody say that, Mordecai. He's a male in the story that has a wonderful job, by the way. And Mordecai was one of the leaders of the Jewish people in exile and helped to raise Esther. So when they came to take her to the palace, Mordecai instructed her, don't tell anyone that you are Jewish. Interesting, huh? Sound like something that happened in history recently? Maybe not so long ago? It's amazing, really, to think about the prep time also that Esther had to go through for this ceremony. It was actually 6 months is normally what you would do to prepare for a wedding. But because this was a king, it took 12 months to prepare yourself for this palace, you know, revelation of the beautiful woman. And so they had cosmetic treatments and myrrh and perfumes and everything applied to them for a year. And then they had to come and all stand in this room and wait and see if the king would choose them. Mordecai does not reveal his relationship to the new queen. And as I will tell you, Esther was chosen. She was quite beautiful. And although Mordecai does not reveal his relationship to her, he comes to the palace often to get news about how the daughter that he raised is doing. One day, he hears two men plotting to murder the king. That would be some good news to hear, because guess what you can do? If you like the king, you could stop this from happening, right? So he gets word to Esther, and Esther tells the king, and the king is very grateful to Mordecai. Then the king appoints a gentleman named Haman as prime minister, and a decree comes after Haman. Everybody is supposed to bow down to Haman. So Haman is walking along one night, you know, all arrogant and happy because he's in charge, right? And he comes across Mordecai. Now, we know a little bit about Mordecai already, right? I told you he was one of the good guys, right? So Mordecai kind of quickly goes by Haman and never bows down to him. Well, you can imagine how this would infuriate him, right? I mean, he made this decree that all people should bow down before him, and this man doesn't do it. So an enemy relationship begins. So Haman goes up to the king and says, hey, you know what? There's a loyalty going on, an issue that needs to be reckoned with. And so I want you to issue an edict that all Jewish people, because Mordecai was a Jew, would be exterminated, and that anything that belonged to them would become ours. Huh. So the king does it, because Haman is his big leader, right? He loves him. He thinks he's great. You know, he does this. Guess what happens to Mordecai? He's heartbroken. Takes sackcloth and ashes and prays, and quickly he sends word to Esther that she must stop the king, must stop him. But Esther's afraid. We heard so beautifully read at the children's time, right? She was afraid for her life. But guess what Mordecai tells her? Do you think you, even though you're queen, could spare yourself from such an edict? Because you yourself are Jewish. When he says this to her, he encourages her to do what is right. And so Esther agrees with asking them to pray and fast for her journey. With great trepidation and dressed in her most beautiful robes, Esther approaches the king. Here's the moment, right? She's going to him without being summoned. And it says in the scripture it was 30 days since she had last been near him. But seeing the beautiful queen, his beloved Esther, he takes his golden scepter out and waves it. Modestly, Esther walks to him and says, I'd like to have you and Haman at a private feast with me. Will you come? And they go, and they dine together. And the king once again asks Esther, what would you like? And she says, I would like a second feast with you and Haman. And so Haman sets out for his house, and he's really pleased with himself. And this is when, you know, he runs into Mordecai, and Mordecai does not bow down. So all this goes on, and essentially what happens is the king has a restless night's sleep. I wonder if you're in charge of a country if you ever have a restless night's sleep. What about if you're in charge of your own household? I've had many restless nights sleep, and I don't even have any family, really. I mean, I have, you know, extended nuclear family, but I'm not even married with kids, and I've had many restless nights sleep because I'm a pastor, and I worry about my flock, right? Restless nights sleep, we've all had them. And the king had one. So he asked if the book of Chronicles could be read to him. And as it's being read to him, he realizes that Mordecai was the one that spared his life. You remember when Mordecai heard about the two people? And so, the great thing that happened was that Mordecai is going to be honored in a fabulous way. So the king comes to Haman, his big buddy, and he goes, hey, if somebody did something amazing for the king and is really good at what he does, how should I honor him? Guess who Haman thinks he's talking about? So he gets this great idea that he should wear all these robes and, you know, be fabulously recognized and parade around the streets and, you know, be really, really appreciated for his honor to the king. And the king said, I like that. It's a good idea because I want to honor Mordecai. Haman's a little bit frustrated and humiliated, right? And then he's summoned to dine with the king and queen. At Esther's second banquet, the king says to her, what can I do for you? I'll do anything for you, even half of my kingdom I'll give you. What can I do for you? And Esther, using amazing wisdom and boldness, comes from utter dependence on God, informed the king that she and her people would be destroyed. And the king said, what? By whom? Why? And she reminded him that she had listened to the wicked Haman and done this horrible thing to her people. And the king got up in a rage and stomped outside. And while he was gone, Haman threw himself at the queen, begging her for mercy on the same couch where she was sitting. And when the king came back in and saw Haman leaning over his queen in such a way, he was horrified and said, "Now you're going to steal my queen and assault her in my presence? Who are you?" The king will not be placated, and Haman is hanged for this. And the good news is that he allowed the Jewish people not to not be victims, but to fight against those who were coming for them, and they won. And Mordecai, as the spiritual leader of the Jewish people, and Esther declared that from that time on, they will always have a feast to celebrate their win. I love the story of Esther. I don't know about you, but when I was little, I always wanted to be a queen or a little girl. I thought I could grow up and be a princess. You know, that's how all the Disney movies have it, right? I mean, here you are, you know, you're going about doing the right thing, and you get a crown. You get to be married to this man that has a palace, and it's fabulous. Then there's real life, right? But the great thing about Esther is that the dream came true for her. She became queen. And I think sometimes when you're given all of those wonderful blessings of wealth and prestige and you live in a big palace, you forget sometimes what life is really about and what other people outside of the palace walls' life is like. But Esther kept connected with Mordecai and was reminded of her purpose. And when asked to step up to the table to have challenge and courage, she stood up, even thinking that she might die. Esther showed her true self under pressure and showed that her faith was important. I think that we have a couple of things to take away, and I know it's late. But by the way, it was late before I started, just to note. The first thing I want to tell you is that if somebody asked you to stand up for what you believe in, even if you knew you might die, would you do it? I don't know. I hope you would. And especially if you could save your family and your loved ones and the people that you knew. Today in the United States, we honor the men and women who died in service to our country, don't we? The sense of patriotism compelled them to put their lives at risk. Whether they volunteered or had been drafted in years ago, they joined the defense of their homeland. Sometimes they traveled to faraway places and put themselves at risk, and we are indebted to them for our freedom. But not all of us are going to have a life in the military. There might be other challenges you might face in your choices to be strong. So I pray for you that you would believe enough. The second thing is that Mordecai says to her in the story, the time is right now. For such a time as this, you have been called to be and do what you're doing. If you don't think that God has put you in this room, in that pew, right now, today, for a reason, then you have missed the whole providential plan of God. For he has you where you are at this moment for his purposes. So trust and believe in God's providence. And never underestimate your impact on the world. The third part that I want you to remember, and then I'll close with a brief story, is that I think that what made Esther who she was her faith, and that she surrounded herself and was blessed with Mordecai and others who were faithful to hold her accountable. We need to be invested in relationships with other Christians who can hold us accountable. I'm going to close with a story. It's called A Little Girl's Prayer. It's about a young woman who came into the labor ward a long time ago, and she was pregnant, and she gave birth, to a premature child. And she passed away during giving birth. And there was difficulty to keep the baby alive because it was in an orphanage. There was no incubator, there was no electricity, there was no special feeding facilities. And they lived near the equator. Nights were chilly with treacherous drafts. And one student midwife who was at the orphanage went for the box they had for babies, where cotton wool was, and wrapped the baby in wool. Another one went over to light a fire and fill a hot water bottle, and she came back shortly to say that the hot water bottle had burst. So everybody thought, what can we do to save this baby? One other volunteer stood up and said, put the baby as near to the fire as you safely can and sleep between the baby and the door to keep it from the drafts, and you might keep the baby warm. The following day, everybody went to pray, and the orphanage children all gathered together close. And there were various suggestions given about what to pray about, just like we did earlier at our time of prayer. And then one person shared about the baby and how the baby was not warm enough. During the prayer time, a 10-year-old girl, Ruth, prayed with the usual blunt conciseness that she always did, saying, please, God, send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow, God, as the baby needs it now. So please send it this afternoon. And then she said, and by the way, can you send a dolly? Because she really needs a doll. Well, of course, after this prayer, everybody wondered, you know, can this really be true? You know, can this be answered? Well, sure enough, that day, it's amazing, really, this parcel appeared at the orphanage. And inside the box was pretty jerseys and all kinds of sweaters and buns for the week and supplies. And in the bottom was a water bottle and a little doll. And the baby lived. Esther was an orphan, raised by others, impacting the world. Never underestimate the power of faith and the community of faith around you. For now and evermore, amen.
I invite you to stand and join with me in singing our closing hymn.